Good to see you all today. You know, one time there was a little girl who was headed to a laboratory to get a blood test with her father. And as brave as she was, as soon as she entered into the building for the blood test, she looked at her dad and said, "Dad, will you hold my hand when they stick the needle in?" You know, we all have times like that when we appreciate the fact that somebody's there to help us and encourage us. Someone that we have a relationship with. And the Bible, much of the Bible, talks about this relationship between God and us and how He is always there to help us and encourage us and hold us, especially in difficult times. Last week, we saw that relationship described by Jesus in the 10th chapter of John, where He says, "I am the good shepherd." And if He's the good shepherd, that makes us His what? Remember? His sheep, right? Well, today we get to the 15th chapter of John, and you just heard that read, where Jesus compares our relationship and the comfort and the strength that we have to that of a vine and the branches. He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." Vine, branches, what kind of fruit comes from those? Grapes, right? And Israelites and the nation of Israel knew a lot about vine and vineyards and grapes because that was one of the backbones of their economy. Friends, I'm amazed here in the United States that as you travel just about everywhere in the United States now, if you get around, you notice that grapes are being grown just about everywhere. And wherever there are grapes, there are also what? Wineries. When I moved to Indiana in 1980, there was no such thing as a wine tour. I'm amazed, okay? We've got that now. But it was this common thing that the Israelites were so aware of that Jesus uses to comfort them and strengthen His people to talk about their relationship with God. And there's one key word in this text. And I don't know if you caught that. It's the word abide. In Greek, it's menos. And it means to be connected. And Jesus uses this word to describe the relationship of Himself to His people. And He says, if you abide in me and I in you, you're going to produce fruit. And friends, that's the bottom line for God's people, for us. It's all about fruit production because that's what a vineyard does. It produces fruit. Well, as we look at this passage about abiding in Jesus and how He's the vine and we are the branches, Jesus describes four different kinds of branches. And we're going to see how we fit into that plan too. Well, the first branch that is described is the throwaway branch. And that's the one we don't want to be because Jesus uses this to serve as a warning for us. God the Father is the gardener, the vine dresser, and we find out that He has to throw away some of the branches. Every branch in me, in verse 2, that does not produce fruit, He takes it away. And then Jesus says in the 6th verse, He says, if anyone does not abide in me, if anyone's not connected to me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Anyone who has a vineyard knows that when a branch doesn't produce fruit, you cut it off. You get rid of it. And as Jesus said, put it in a pile, and if you're not in a city where they have pollution standards, you light it on fire, right? You burn the branches. Well, Jesus is talking about people here. He's referring to people when He talks about throwaway branches. And for the people that He was speaking of, it must have gone back to what they knew about the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, time and time again, God's people are compared to a vineyard. Isaiah says, he says, the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. Hosea calls the nation of Israel a luxuriant vine. Psalm 80 says, you, Lord, brought a vine out of Egypt. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and it filled the land. In fact, by the time Jesus was living in Palestine, the vine had become a symbol of the nation of Israel. On Maccabean coins was stamped a picture of a vine, of a vineyard. In the temple, before you would go into the Holy of Holies, the priests, there above on the doorway would be a massive vine. God's people were the vineyard of God. But the bottom line, again, for any vineyard is its fruit. And what kind of fruit did Israel produce? Isaiah tells us that God did everything possible for the Lord to make his vineyard fruit productive. It said, my beloved, that's the Lord. He had a vineyard. He planted on a very fertile hill. He dug it. He cleared it of stones. He planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower. He hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield wonderful, lush grapes. But what did it yield? It yielded wild grapes. Wild grapes, nasty grapes, grapes that you wouldn't want being produced. That's what Israel produced. And why? Because they weren't attached to the vine of God's grace. Sin does that, cuts us off from God. And if you're wondering, who is it that is a throwaway branch today? Jesus says, he says that if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away. And so when a relationship with Jesus is broken, when people no longer have any contact with the Lord, with his word, if that happens, a person loses their faith and falls away and stops bearing fruit and becomes a throwaway branch. Years ago at the Tournament of Roses parade in Pasadena, California, that's on New Year's Day, one of the great parades in our nation, Standard Oil Company had a beautiful float in the parade. And it was about in the middle of the parade route, and all of a sudden the float stopped, dead still. This was the Standard Oil parade float. Why do you think it stood still and blocked the parade route? Because it ran out of gas. Christians, when we somehow think that we can live without God's grace, we can go it alone, that we don't need him, that's when we run out of faith. And we become separated from God and his goodness. And Jesus gives us the warning here that when that happens in a person's life, they become a throwaway branch. Well, let's go back. You know, God's people in the Old Testament, the Lord did everything for them to be that fertile, productive vineyard, to produce good grapes, great, wonderful grapes. But what did they produce? Wild grapes, sinful grapes. And so the Lord had to have another plan. He had to have an extreme plan. And he comes up with this marvelous solution, the Bible says, that even the angels are amazed at. And what does he do? This is what he does. God the vine dresser becomes God the vine. The gardener becomes part of his garden. God humbles himself in the person of his son and becomes a human being. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And that's why Jesus, the true God-man, could say, I am the vine. And if you're connected to me as a branch, you're going to live. And sure enough, that's what happens. When we abide in Jesus, his life becomes our life. And the oldness of our sin, the yuckiness of our wild, of our bad grapes is gone, and God produces in us a new crop. Well, that leads us then to the other three types of branches. Remember, the first one is the throwaway. The second type of branch is the pruned branch. Jesus says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it can bear more fruit. One of the jobs of a good gardener is to prune the branches of the grapevine. The gardener obviously cuts out the diseased or the branches that don't produce any fruit, but then he looks at the good branches and he cuts them back too. Why? Because the gardener knows that the best groups, the best grapes, are always the ones that are grown closest to the vine. If you ever get a chance to visit California, the Napa and Sonoma Valleys, we were blessed to be able to do that, and we took a tour of a vineyard. And the vintner, the head guy showing us around, told us that the best grapes for the most expensive wines are grown closest to the main vine. And that's why the gardener prunes back most of every year the branches so that they're closer to the vine and produce more and better fruit. Well, has the Lord ever pruned you? Has the Lord ever cut into your life and remove things that you didn't want removed? Has God ever taken something away from you? Has he ever changed and shifted things around for you? And does it seem drastic? And is it painful? Yeah. But during those times when the Lord is pruning us, he's doing that for our good purpose. Why? Because God is not concerned so much about your comfort. God is concerned about your character. And when he prunes us, when stuff happens in our lives, we are led back to his grace. We realize that we're dependent on him and not ourselves. Because if we're honest, so often we try to produce fruit of our own. Because we're so smart. We're the ones that have understanding. We have the strength to be able to get no, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. He is the vine. We are simply the branches. And we receive our strength, our nourishment from him. And so, friend, if you're going through a time of pruning right now, if you feel like God is cutting something back in your life, please hang on, because the gardener is not finished yet. You can trust him, and he knows what you need, and you know that he's going to be there for you in the end to produce even greater fruit in your life. So we have the throwaway branch, the prune branch. The third kind of branch is the abiding branch, or the connected branch. The abiding branch is the branch that stays connected to Jesus, because he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, God grafts us into the vine of his grace in our baptism. And throughout our lives, then it's his nourishment that builds us up in our faith and helps us to mature. And all the time, we are connected to him through his word and his sacrament. Christ is so faithful to us. He will never desert us or leave us. But sometimes we think we've got a better way. And sometimes we think that we can attach ourselves to other vines. We can become apathetic to Jesus and his word. We can fall out of our habit of saying our prayers and spending time with the Lord and his word. And in doing so, we run the risk again of being disconnected from Jesus. We feel like, it's no big deal to miss worship. It's I don't have to be involved in a Bible study with other Christians. And it's that attitude that causes us maybe to look good on the outside, but on the inside, we're losing that nourishment from Jesus. We're not abiding in him. We can be like two women who one day spent much of their time trying to impress each other in a phone call about who was the more religious person. And finally, when the visit was over, one said to her husband, who had overheard the discussion on the phone, "You know that Mrs. Sill, she's a good Christian, but I just believe I live closer to the Lord than her." After thinking for a moment, the man replied, "Ain't either one of you crowding the Lord any?" God calls us to crowd him, to stay close to him. Abide in me. And it's interesting, the Greek participle here for abide, it has continuing sense to it. So it's not just a past tense, abide. It's not just a present, but it has a you keep on abiding in me. Don't forget me, Jesus says. Stay connected to me. A few years ago, a news article came from the Associated Press detailing the plight of a Swedish woman who had a rare eating disorder. And every day, in order for her to live, she had to eat 30 or more pounds of food. Now, that sounds like fun, but couldn't you have 30 pounds of food? You know how much food that is? She always needed more and more. Friends, Jesus offers us more and more of himself and his nourishment. And we feast on him when we spend time with him and his word. If you aren't doing this, when you begin your day, just get up 5 minutes earlier. Get up 5 minutes earlier and read a little portion of his word and talk to him, reflect to him in prayer. It'll change your day. It'll change your attitude. Why? Because you are abiding in Jesus. You're staying connected to him for your day. Friends, Jesus offers you himself. And so we abide in Jesus in our worship services. When we get together with other Christians, we become that abiding branch that God calls us to have. So we've got the throwaway branch, then the prune branch, the abiding branch, and finally then we have the fruitful branch. Jesus says, "He who abides in me, he it is that bears much fruit." And in the last verse of this section, Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear not just some fruit, not a little fruit, but much fruit." And that's the way, he says, that you prove to be my disciples. Bottom line is the fruit. You know, since creation, fruit has played an important role. We know that there was fruit in the Garden of Eden, and it was attractive, and it must have tasted great. And I don't know about you, but fruit still tastes great. And so much of the fruit that we have here is so beautiful, isn't it? And when we eat that fruit, we know that it's good for us. The doctors continue to say, eat more fruits and vegetables, right? Well, that's not the only reason why the Lord created fruit, because most fruit today has something inside of it. There are a few fruits that have it on the outside. But what's on the inside of fruit? Seeds. And what's the purpose of seeds? The purpose of those seeds is reproductive in nature, so that those seeds would somehow fall upon the ground, get planted somewhere, and would produce more fruit. And that's God's purpose for us. That's why he's connected us to himself. It's not just for selfish purposes. It's so that we would produce more fruit. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians, identifies what that fruit is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that are produced in your life when you are connected and abiding in Jesus. And I know there are some Christians who worry about their fruit production. Oh, I don't know if I'm producing enough of this and that and so forth. The thing is, you just stay connected to Jesus and he'll do the fruit producing. It's not up to you. It's up to him. And sure enough, oh, the world really needs that kind of fruit, doesn't it? As Christ's love flows to us and through us, the world takes notice. People see how you treat your co-workers where you work. People notice what kind of neighbor you are and your friendliness and your kindness. People look at you and the way that you treat your family with respect and care that you have for one another. Your boss takes note of your self-control and the discipline that you have at work. And when people notice the fruit of your faith, the Holy Spirit is at work, and the seed of fruit in your life is planted in the lives of others, are grasped by them so that you become a witness of God's grace in Jesus, and you point others then to the cross of Jesus Christ and the life that he gives by his resurrection and his triumph over Satan and sin and death. One time, a boy's mother was dying from cancer. And he wanted to get her something really nice, so he saved all of his money to buy her some roses at the florist shop. Well, it was Sunday, and after church, he walked to the florist shop, and when he got there, he found that they weren't open on Sunday, and he was greatly disappointed. And so as he walked this look of discouragement back to the home, he passed through a house where there was a man out working in his garden. And in his garden were beautiful, luscious roses. And he thought to himself, and he finally got up the courage, and he asked this man if he could buy a few of these beautiful roses. The man replied, "No, you cannot buy any of my flowers, but I will give you a whole armful." We will never be able to go to the produce section at your favorite grocery store and buy the kind of fruit that God wants for our world today. It'll never happen. You can't buy it. But what does God do? He loves us so much that he freely gives us just what we need. Life and salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose for us. And then without any cost, he grafts us into the vine. And then by our connection to him, he produces that fruit in us and through us. Well, next time you have to get a blood test or get a shot or something, I hope that there's someone there to hold your hand. But even more important than that, I hope that we are thankful today for the life-giving connection that we have to Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And what kind of branches are we? Oh, we are abiding branches. We're connected to Jesus. And it's his love that flows to us, his grace, his life, so that every day is a joyful event for us as we live for him. Not only that, but then through us all that fruit is produced of his kindness and joy and peace. And friend, again, if you're being pruned, if there is some cutting back in your life right now, know that the Lord is with you, and that in the end, the fruit of righteousness will be all the more produced in you. Let's pray about that, shall we? Gracious God, how thankful we are that we have a relationship with you where we are connected to you, that you are the vine, Jesus, and we are your branches, and that your love and your mercy flows to us so that we have life today and even forever. Lord, as we are abiding in you, produce in us the fruit that you want for our lives, of that love and joy and peace and kindness, so that other people will know of your grace, so that they too might believe and trust in you. And Lord, for those times when we get cut back, when we get pruned, help us to know that you're still in control, and that we can trust you, and that you are producing us the fruit of your righteousness. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.